What an incredible season it's been. Somebody shout focus. Now listen, you have 7 more days to get on track with your focus goals. And so if you didn't get a book, we still have more books for you today so that you can continue to follow your goals. But today, we're talking about fasting for focus. Wow. It's amazing to see how engaged people are with this message. So week one, we talked about focusing on one thing. Week two, we talked about focusing on Jesus. Week three, we talked about focusing on your purpose. And today we're going to close this thing by talking about fasting for focus. Somebody shout, fasting for focus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 to 30. Matthew chapter 5, 29 to 30. It says, it's a very strong scripture. Warning, warning, warning. But we're going to explain this. How many people know all the Bible is good? And you have to read the Bible by revelation. It says, if your right eye makes you stumble and leads you into sin, tear it out and throw it away. Please don't go home and do this literally. You have to read the word of God by revelation. But there's some things you have to remove out of your life literally. Amen. That is, remove yourself from the source of temptation. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, when we mention the word hell, let me take a pause here and just remind everybody that hell was not created for people. Hell was created for the devil. Now, who's the devil? We gotta explain that. The devil is Satan. He's a fallen angel. He used to be a good angel. He used to be known as Lucifer. He was a good angel. Matter of fact, he led worship for God. And then he rebelled and convinced a third of angels to rebel with him. And then he was cast down on the earth. He became this ugly monster who desires to steal, kill, and destroy people. Hell was created for the devil, not for people. Somebody shout hallelujah. The preacher who told you that hell is for people lied to you. Heaven is for the people and hell is for the devil. Somebody say, that's good news. Verse 30 says, if your right hand makes you stumble and leads you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Don't do it literally. Some of the things you may need to. It says, that is, remove yourself from the source of temptation, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. I'm enjoying this season of my life. I love my wife. Somebody say amen to that. I love my babies. I love family. My dream was to come to America and be married and have a family and drive a minivan. I'm living my dreams. And serve the Lord. I'm not ashamed of my minivan. You know what I'm talking about. It's incredible. I love waking up and my kids are jumping on my back. I am living my best days. It's incredible. Amen. And our Zenzo, who is 11 years old, he's a beast at basketball. And I know every parent says that. But for real, this kid is so good. So many people have told us that. And people are literally trying to train him. And he's trained with Jason Tatum and Kyrie Irving. I mean, the doors God has opened for him. And so he's a beast. He's really, really good. And I never played basketball. I'm from Africa. Yo, we play soccer. Can I hear my soccer people out here say amen? Now, he is so good. Now, the good side to that is that he's so cool because it's like we have this superstar in the house. The other day, I went to the local market basket because my wife loves to send me texts and say, can you get me this and that and this and that? Don't you just love it when you're cruising home and you're ready to get home, you get that text, can you stop by? Y'all gonna leave me hanging? Well, so I went to the local market basket, and as soon as I went in there, there was a lady who just started shouting and rejoicing. Well, she had seen a post that we bought a house, but on Facebook, we didn't say where we bought a house. So when she saw me at the local market basket, she just knew that we moved into the city. So she literally, in the market basket, just started shouting like it's back in the Jesus day, like she just saw a great man of God.
She shouted, oh my God.
And I'm thinking, this is amazing. This woman is so happy because a man of God just came into the city.
And then this is what she says. Do you guys move into this city? I'm like, yes. Did you move with your son here? Of course, he lives with us. She was more excited about our Zenza moving to Methuen than she was excited about me. She said, oh my God, I gotta call my husband. Then she calls him right there. She said, Hubby, honey, guess who I'm standing here with? The first thing she said was, guess who moved into the city? Little Zenzo. I'm thinking she's gonna say, the bishop moved into the city. The man of God from Africa moved into the city. Things are about to change in this city. She said, no, little Zenzo. Hon, he's got to play on your basketball team. And then she says, guess who's standing in front of me? I'm thinking she's going to say, Pastor Zenzo. She says, Zenzo daddy. I'm Zenzo daddy now. Little Zenzo daddy standing here. And I'm standing there. I'm like, wow, this is, wow. But it was a proud moment. Now, the downside to this story, the downside to Zenzo being so good at basketball is that he kills me all the time. Because he practices on me. Matter of fact, he's getting good because I'm his defensive machine. The other day, I came here to preach, and I just stood here like this, looking cool and just swinging, because he challenged me in front of people at our daughter's birthday party, and I was ready to destroy that boy, and I twisted my ankle. And I came here, and I just stood here and preached like this. Now, here's the thing. I know that my son is going to destroy me at basketball these days. I know that for a fact. At first, it's kind of cute. After a little while, it's not cute anymore. But I know that he's going to destroy me. But the thing I aim for now is to simply distract him so that he doesn't get all his points. Instead of him killing me by 50 points, I want him to get 18. Because I know I might get 0 or 2. I know that. I'm cool with that at this point. But the thing I want to do is to stop him from getting 50 points. If he can get 18 instead of 50, that's a good day. Impact, as we close this series today, very simple. I want you to know this. If the enemy cannot destroy you completely, he will settle for distracting you so that you fall short from being everything God created you to be. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus at this place. You see, for some of you, the enemy knows he cannot get you back out into the world. He cannot completely destroy you. He cannot get you to do crazy things. But he's just trying to minimize your points. Instead of you winning by 50 points, he wants to make you get only 18. He wants to distract you so he can minimize the victory in your life so that you don't become everything that God designed for you to be. I don't know about you, but I want all that God has for me in this life in the name of Jesus. I'm that kind of guy, when I eat chips, when I'm done with that thing, I stick my pinky finger in there and I rip the whole thing open and I lick that thing because I want all that God has for me. I don't want one crumb to be thrown away. And the enemy wants to distract you. He wants to distract you. Just turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't be distracted by the enemy. Please write this down. Many times what you think is an opportunity is simply a distraction. Many times what you think is an opportunity is a distraction. Because many of us are driven by insecurities. You want to get a break very quickly. You're hungry for something. And so the enemy throws things at you. And you think, this is my opportunity for the big break. And all the enemy is doing is he's distracting you so that you don't become all that God wants you to be. Please write this down. Successful people say no to opportunities more than they say yes. Successful people say no to opportunities more than they say yes. And the opposite is true. Ordinary people say yes to opportunities more than they say no. Ordinary people say yes to opportunities more than they say no. Our son Zenzo, the very kid, when he was about 2 or 3 years old, he went through this season where everything you asked him, he just said no. Hey man, can I have a little bit of your food? No. Can I play? Can I take some of your cars and can I play with you? No. Zenzo, do you think Jesus Christ is Lord? No. Do you love mommy and daddy? No. Maybe. He said no to everything. He went through this phase where he said no to everything. Now he's 11. And it's amazing to watch how he tries to say yes to everything his friends ask him to do. Because we change. As we grow, we become people pleasers. Can I teach you something? You have to learn to say no in this season. If you're going to focus and be all that God has created to do, you have to be focused. Like my Zenzo, saying no means you shake your head like this and just say no. This is powerful. We're going to practice this. Everybody in this room, shake your head. Say, mm-mm-mm. Say no. One more time. Let's do this again. No. Because some of us don't even know how to say no. And the enemy is taking advantage of you. And by the way, please don't say maybe when you mean no. Because you're leaving the door open. No is no. The devil is trying to distract you. The enemy is trying to distract you. Somebody say amen. Just because something is good does not mean it's for you. Just because you have the time to do something does not mean it's for you. Just because you can do something does not mean it's for you. Somebody shout hallelujah. So which means in this season you have to learn how to prune and fast. You have to learn how to prune and fast. What's pruning? To prune is to cut away dead or overgrown things in order to increase fruitfulness and growth. To prune is to cut away dead or overgrown things in order to increase fruitfulness and growth. What is to fast? To fast is to abstain from certain things in order to allow your body to flush out toxins and cleanse itself. To fast is to abstain from certain things in order to allow your body to flush out toxins and cleanse itself. Let's go back to prune. To prune is to cut away dead or overgrown things in order to increase fruitfulness and growth. I'm here to tell someone in this place that some of those relationships in your life that you're still pursuing are dead. It's time to prune. Some of those relationships that you've been pursuing are dead. That's why there's no joy. They're causing you to do crazy things. In this season of focus, you have to be willing to cut away from those things. Remove them. Somebody shout amen. Amen. To prune is to cut away dead or overgrown things. And there are certain relationships in your life that you're not supposed to cut completely off. You're supposed to just trim them and prune them because they are overgrown. Some of your friends that are good, they're good for you, but you hang out way too much. You have to pull that thing back so that you can focus on all that God wants you to focus on. To fast is to abstain from certain things in order to allow your body to flush out toxins and cleanse itself. Food is good, and you need food. But to fast is to abstain from something that's good for a season so that your body can cleanse itself. And God is telling me to tell someone in this place that God wants you to remove certain things that are actually good for you for a season so that your body can cleanse itself. Somebody shout hallelujah. I want to quickly give you 3 points from the text that we just read. What a text. If your right eye makes you stumble and leads you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. If your right eye causes you to sin. If your right eye causes you to sin. Number one, please write this down. Be honest about what's distracting you. You have to know that it's the right eye that's distracting me, not my nose, not my left eye, not my foot. It's the right eye. So in this season, you have to be honest with the thing that's distracting you. You have to be honest with the thing that's distracting you. In other words, cut away, remove that thing, walk away from the source of that temptation. But you won't be able to do that until you tell somebody. You got yourself in that mess. You won't do it by yourself. You were never designed to do it by yourself. So number two, tell someone about what's distracting you. Number one, be honest about what's distracting you. Number two, tell someone about what's distracting you. If you're serious about being focused, go tell someone, this is the thing that's distracting me. Hold me accountable. Someone say amen. And this scripture says this. It's so amazing. It says, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. So the third point is you have to be willing to lose what's distracting you. Get ready to lose something. You cannot focus until you lose something. Sometimes the way to gain everything is to lose something. You have to be willing to pay the price to lose something. So on this final week, I want you to write down a list of things that you need to remove from your life. Number one, you need to write those things down. Number two, I want you to tell somebody about it. Let me get a good amen right here, church people. And then number three, I want you to prepare to lose something. You have to lose something or someone. It won't happen unless you lose something. It says it's better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, impact, at this point, I want to give you 6 common distractions that you need to watch out for. 6 common distractions that you need to watch for. Things that you need to cut away from your life. Number one, distraction from your conviction. Distraction from your conviction. Somebody shout conviction. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight for the true faith. Fight the good fight for the true faith. True faith, which means there's such a thing called false faith. Fight the good fight for the true faith. It says, hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. This is an apostle. Paul is speaking to a young preacher. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Impact, I want to remind you to fight for what God has given you. We're living in a generation where we're feeding on what I call processed spiritual food. And one of the things that God has told me to tell you in this season is that it's time to fast from spiritual processed food. We're living in the generation of YouTubes and podcasts. Statistics say that the majority of Christians don't even pick up the Bible anymore. We're just watching messages and listening to episodes and listening to TED Talks. What happened to reading the raw word of God? What happened to reading scripture? So we're raising a generation of people that don't even know what they believe in. So when something comes and shakes your doctrine, you fall down because you don't even know what you believe in the first place. Because everything you believe, you heard from somebody and you watched it on YouTube. You don't know what you believe yourself. God called me to bring you back to a place where you're reading the raw word of God, the indestructible, incorruptible seed of the word of God. This word is prophetic. It's alive and well. You see, we're eating processed spiritual food and it reflects our culture in America. Somebody say amen. It's easy to just microwave something. It's easy to have TV dinners. If you had a TV dinner last night, please don't have a spiritual TV dinner. Go back to the word of God. We are losing people. I hear stories of pastors, worship leaders that are walking away from the faith because they're being distracted by doctrine. Why? Because we're eating processed spiritual food. So I'm a practical teacher for the next 7 days. We have 7 days remaining for this 30 days of focus. Would you go back to reading the word of God? Somebody shout hallelujah. For some of you, God is telling me to tell you for the next 7 days or for the next 30 days, don't even watch another preacher on TV. Don't read another book. Just focus on the word of God. Go back to the basics. Return to the word of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Destruction of your conviction. It is said that 80% of Bible school graduates won't even be in ministry 3 years after they've graduated. Now, I believe in Bible school training, but I want you to know that it starts with the word of God. It starts with the word of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Can we just put our hands together and celebrate God for his word? Come on, hallelujah. Thank you for your word, God. Number two, destruction from opposition. Destruction from opposition. Here's the word of the Lord for you. Do not allow your enemies and your haters to set your agenda. Let me say that again. Do not allow your enemies and your haters to set your agenda. Don't allow them to control what you think about, what you do, how you live your life, what you eat. You're walking around your house talking to yourself like a mad person. Can't believe they did that to me. You're in your own house, but they're controlling you. Can't believe they say that to me. Can't believe they have the nerve to do that to me. Do not allow your haters to set your agenda. They're controlling your life. It's a distraction from what God wants you to focus on. It takes energy to focus on your purpose. You cannot afford to lose 1 ounce of energy focusing on your haters and your enemies. Come on. Woo. This is one of the secrets that my spiritual father taught me. Let's go to Nehemiah, chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Nehemiah was a great builder. He was building the walls of Jerusalem. He was mobilizing finances. He was a CEO. He was a developer. He was an incredible God. He had audiences with kings, and he was on this incredible project, but he had some enemies. The Sanballat. That sounds like an enemy to me. Tobiah. Woo! He comes to Tobiah you. And Geshem. He comes to Geshem you. And Arab. Yay. Says, and the rest of our enemies found out that had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained. There are people who are hearing about your progress and they're not happy with it. Says, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates, so Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. If your enemies are inviting you to meet them in a village called Ono, the answer should be Ono. And this is how you respond to haters. Oh no. But I realized they were plotting to harm me. So I replied by sending this message to them. I am engaged in a great work. So I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? This is how you respond to haters. Number one, you say, oh no. And number two, you say, why should I neglect what God has taught me to do? I am building something. Can I see some builders in the house right here, right now? Are you building something? You have to learn to say, oh no. It says four times they sent the same message. And each time I gave them the same reply. Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. Never respond to your critics. Never respond to your critics. Impact, I want to teach you this. Number one, only listen to the feedback of those that are for you. When somebody tells you, I have constructive criticism, test the spirit first. Excessive constructive criticism becomes destructive. You have to test the spirit. If they're not for you, they have nothing good for you. Test the spirit. Be careful. Watch out for people who only speak up when you fail. I've written many songs, done some great things. I know people who never say anything until something wrong happens. Now they have a smart advice for me. Why didn't you call me when you heard I got nominated for a Dove Award? These are the secrets to the journey. Number two, listen to the feedback of those with a track record of success. What I'm trying to say to you is don't learn how to swim from drowning men. You know why? Because spectators don't have a full perspective. It's easy to think that you can do it when you see someone on the stage. You don't know the whole picture. My son says to me, you know, Dad, you need to relax a little bit. When I go to watch basketball game with him, I'm like, Kyrie Irving, just shoot, man. Just do this. One day I said, Zenzo, man, they need to just put me in there, man. I'm going to make 15 baskets. It looks easy when somebody else is doing it. So don't listen to people who are not doing anything. Peter, what's happening? You're walking on water. Don't listen to them fellas, the other 11 fellas that are still on the boat. You can't tell me nothing if you're still comfortable in the boat. Listen to the feedback of those you are serving. If you're serving a product, if you're giving a service, it's wise to listen to those you are serving. And it's not wisdom to not listen. Finally, only listen to feedback that's in line with the voice of God. All the feedback is preparing you to hear the voice of God. Use the feedback to bring you to the voice of God. Somebody say amen. Number three, destruction through competition. Competition is a destruction. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 4. Then I observed that most people are motivated by success because they envy their neighbors. But this too is meaningless. Competition is meaningless. Like chasing the wind. That's how you drown the Titanic. Trying to break some records. Competition produces stagnation. Competition produces stagnation. Number four, destruction through imitation. Destruction through imitation. Galatians 6 verse 4. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done.
And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Runners get disqualified because of going into someone else's lane. Doesn't matter how fast you are. If you end up in someone else's lane, you are disqualified. Stay in your lane. Someone say hallelujah. Fall in love with yourself. Some traditional person is struggling with this. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. I fell in love with my wife, which means I have to fall in love with me first before I fall in love with someone else. This is the word of God. Someone shout hallelujah. Someone encourage yourself in this place in the name of Jesus. Come on. You're awesome. You're perfect. God made you fearfully and wonderfully made. You're incredible. Number five, destruction from temptation. Destruction from temptation. There's this text here that just sends chills to me. Judges chapter 16, verse 28 to 30. Samson was always distracted by his eyes. His eyes were his destruction. Always distracted. Always distracted. He was a womanizer. Samson prayed at the end of his life, Sovereign Lord, please remember me. Please, God, give me my strength just this one time more. So that this one blow, somebody say one blow. So that this one blow, I can get even with the Philistines for putting out my two eyes. Samson was distracted by his eyes. So the enemy removed the distraction. Please don't wait until the enemy is used by God to remove your distraction. If you don't do it yourself, it's going to be done. So they gouged out his eyes, they removed his eyes, and he's praying, poor God. So Samson took hold of the two middle columns holding up the building. Putting one hand on each column, he pushed against them and shouted, "Let me die with the Philistines." He pushed with all his might, and the building fell down on the five kings and everyone else. Samson killed more people at his death than he had killed during his life. Samson did his greatest work when his destruction was removed. Let's go to number six. Destruction from past connections. Be careful of those blasts from the past. That's one of the negative effects of social media. Checking in on the blasts from the past. As we end here, Impact, I want to talk about the six areas that you need to fast. Number one, spiritually. Number two, mentally. Number three, physically. Number four, relationally. Number five, socially. Number six, financially. For some of you, spiritually, it's time to fast from processed spiritual food. Go back into the Word. Someone say amen. Come on, that's a word from the Lord for somebody in this place. Number two, mentally, you need to fast from those toxic thoughts. Some of you speak against yourself. You continually attack yourself in your mind, and then you attack other people. You look down on yourself in your mind. It's toxic. It's time to fast. It's time to believe what God says about you. Some of you are going to have to fast physically. Some of you, this is a good time as you focus to stop eating pizza in Jesus' name. Stop eating those carbs in Jesus. For some of you, the food you're eating is literally distracting you. You can't go to sleep. You feel tired all the time. God wants you to focus on your purpose, and the food you're eating is distracting you. Number four, relationally. If there's anybody in your life you're gossiping with, that relationship is toxic for you. Number five, socially.
socially. For some of you, it's time to fast from partying. It's quiet in the building. There's such a culture of partying that's coming into the house of God. It's almost like it's all about the parties and the hangouts and Jesus on the side. Remember, food is good for you, but fasting is putting food aside for a season. What's God saying to you? Number six, financially. For some of you, if you start saving that money, your life is going to change. You're buying stuff you can't afford and you still don't feel good about yourself. Because what you need is not those clothes. What you need is Jesus. So I want to read this scripture. Isaiah 58 as we finish. This is what happens when you fast. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? This is the Lord speaking. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? As you begin to fast in those six areas, this is what's going to happen to you. It says, to loose the bonds of wickedness. I declare that as you begin to fast in those six areas, that there are bondages that are breaking off of you in the name of Jesus. Come on, I declare some addictions, stuff that you're struggling with, they're going to break. As you fast, as you remove stuff, to undo heavy burdens. You know what that is? That's anxiety and depression. When you begin to fast spiritually, relationally, mentally, there's going to be things that will break off of you. That depression will come down in the name of Jesus. It says to let the oppressed go free. That you break every yoke. You break every yoke. Fasting is going to cause you to break every yoke in the name of Jesus. Come on. Every yoke is breaking. Every yoke is breaking as you change your eating. As you begin to fast mentally, socially. Verse 7. It says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. You know what this is saying? Some of you, when you begin to fast financially, if you don't buy that shoe, you're going to feed people. You're going to become more generous in this season because of fasting. You don't need that shoe. You need to be generous to someone else. The void that you have will be filled when you become generous to someone else. Verse 8. Please stand. We're going to shout this together. Verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. I declare that light is breaking forth like the morning over your life in the name of Jesus. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. You've come to the season of healing in the name of Jesus. And your righteousness shall go before you. You've come to the season where you're going to break addictions that you've had in a long time. Then the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard in Jesus' name. If you receive that promise, just put your hands together. Come on. You've come to the season of healing. Your healing will spring forth speedily in the name of Jesus. Righteousness, addictions are breaking down. That addiction you've had for a long time, God is setting you free in the name of Jesus. Every eye closed, you can't leave a place like this without saying yes to Jesus. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. If you need to receive Jesus, if you need to begin a new life with him, just throw your hand and say, Pastor, I want to be saved today. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hands, 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 hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Those of you with your hands lifted up and impact, we're going to help them. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender to you. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you are the Lord of my life. Somebody lose your mind. Put your hands together. Come on. Welcome to the season of healing. It's time to fast. Welcome to the season of righteousness. Impact, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.